Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the spirit is broken." So tonight, today, wherever you're hearing me from, I want to talk about comfort for the wounded spirit, comfort for the hearts. People are going through things. They're challenged. Some people have been writing me. They don't fit anywhere. They don't fit in the world. And now they're finding they don't fit in their churches. And they're starting to see some of their doctrines are wrong. And they're very discouraged at this time. So I just felt like it was time to kind of switch gears a little bit and do some comfort and some encouragement. And then we also had Tim's best friend for years and years just passed away. And I was already studying on this, and I thought a lot of people are losing things. They're losing relationships. They're losing parents. Friendships, old age. We're having a class reunion, which I've never been to, and I was reading some of the, this is the first one I'm going to go to, and this lady in our class said, "Well, I'll go if I can find someone to babysit my husband." And I was like, we're at that age where we have to find someone to watch our husbands? It's just like, wow, things are, as you get older, things just happen. I mean, it's really not funny, but it's just lightening up things a little bit. But a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow, and that word sorrow there means by grief, by pain, by torment or suffering, the heart is broken. And Jesus said he's come to heal the brokenhearted. And that's one of the ministries that the Lord has as the comforter. We're supposed to be comforted, and with that comfort, we're supposed to comfort other people. And a lot of people don't know how to get healed once they've been hurt and or they've lost things and they end up being bitter and angry. They haven't processed and worked through things. You got to work through stuff. And the way we do that, we go to the Lord and we have him help us get through these hard times. Let me just share a couple things. There was a true story. A few years back when my son was playing basketball in Florida, we'd rent a condo, and it was just right there in Sarasota. It was just beautiful on the beach, and we'd just kind of go there in the wintertime and visit him. And all of a sudden, we found out that lady died. It's like, oh, her place isn't for rent anymore. And we found out that she'd found out that her husband had another whole family. He had a wife and kids and everything. And when she found out that he had another family, it wasn't long and she had died. And the people that told us said, I think she died of a broken heart. And I just thought, wow, how sad that things happen in life. I mean, we live in a life of sorrow and grief, don't we? And I don't know if she was saved or not. I hope so. But how sad to live and find out some of this stuff that she thought she had trust in a companion and found out that he had another whole family. You read about this stuff, but to experience it with someone you know. So in this world, we're going to face sorrow and we're going to face loss. I'm grieving, and I'm sure you are too, with the loss of freedoms. We're seeing a lot of things, and I'm not going into that. I'm kind of wanting to take a break from that, but we're seeing a lot of freedoms that are going to be challenged in the future. And one of the things I'll just share with you, I think it's May 22nd, there's coming a vote about the World Health Organization. If they take over the whole system, they can tell all the nations. There won't be like sovereign nations that they decide what you're going to do, but the WHO, the World Health Organization, will determine, you know, the lockdowns and this and that. There's going to be a lot of freedom that is going to be taken away and put a lot of power put into this, whatever you want to call it, the World Health Organization. So we have to watch out for that. But we know these steps have to happen because we know there is the new world system is coming into place. It's just sad. It just seems to be happening so fast, doesn't it? So we have to deal with our hearts when we're grieving. That we're grieving seeing that some people don't see what's going on. Some people just think you're, how clever of the news to tell everyone they're conspiracy theorists so that no matter what you say now, they've blocked out truth because you're labeled as a nut and you no longer think. A lot of people don't think. And that's when I preached that message on the Church of the Zombies. So in this world, we're going to face a lot of sorrow. And we're going to face a lot of grief. Tim's dad has went to more funerals this last year, seeing a lot of his friends. He's 85. He was going to two a day. And it's just like, wow, you just get rid of one funeral, you got done, and then you had to go to another one. I've just never heard of so many funerals, but he knows a lot of people. But there's broken relationships, there's broken homes, we lose our parents. If you've ever went through a divorce, that is like a death. It's you still are alive, but you feel like parts of you have died. It's very troubling. Nobody talks about how to deal with loss. We've never been taught how to deal with pain. We have just taught in church, you're a winner, you're an overcomer, you're on top, you're rising, you're all this. And no one deals with reality, with the brokenness of people. And I've heard more and more people tell me my circle is getting smaller and smaller because people are set in the way they're thinking. And it's either you're over here or you're over here. And people don't know how to walk in love to a point where you can just even have fellowship. It's either you agree with me, or, you know, it's just this chaos and this division. And it's caused a lot of brokenheartedness in people. Churches, a lot of people have never returned and started going back to church. So we see broken relationships, a lot of loss. And as long as we live in this world, we're going to face loss. Because loss is a constant companion throughout our life. And losing hurts, so we deny it. We pretend it doesn't bother us. You know, we just kind of move on. But we have to deal with our broken hearts and with our grief and learn how that, you know, really that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And he's here because we need comfort. He's here because we need it. And we are supposed to be comforted. And also when people die, we don't grieve as the world grieves because we know they're going to be with Jesus, but we still grieve. And we were raised in the movement we were in, you don't grieve. You know, they went to heaven, so get over it. That's not even reality because you have emotions. So loss is a constant companion throughout our life and losing hurts. And loss isn't fair. Something's ended and it's permanently gone. And it's hard when you're attached to something. Once that attachment is broken, you're going to feel pain. And when we're attached to something and that tie is broken, loss occurs. And when that loss occurs, grieving happens. And you have to know that it's okay to grieve. In funerals now, they don't even allow you to grieve. It's like, okay, we're going to have a party and a celebration. And that's fine, but you have to let people know. I did a funeral a while back, and this lady goes, thank you for allowing me to grieve. My daughter's been dead, but she told me I couldn't, you know, grieve. But I have been grieving, but I wasn't given permission to grieve. Well, the Bible talks a lot about grieving. We're going to get into that. So life is full of relationships with people, things, and dreams that break up. And with each change, we experience grief. I remember when my oldest son drove away. We just got him a new little Jimmy thing back in the day. And he got his license, and it was like a new phase. It's like, well, he's independent. And I remember him going down the driveway, and I thought, wow, he's not a little kid anymore. There's a grieving as your kids grow up, and they move away. Even though you train them their whole life to move away, when they leave the nest, it's sad. You have to kind of deal with that change and that experience. So at each loss, grief accompanies it. If we don't grieve over it in childhood, something that really bothered you in childhood and you've never been able to grieve it properly, a lot of times these things come out sideways. And I've shared that before. My mom died when I was in junior high and I didn't know how to grieve. We weren't really told how to grieve. I remember I broke out in rashes. That's when I started having all this stress, and because you don't know what to do with your emotions. And you just go to school the next day like everything's fine and nobody tells you how to deal with your emotions of loss. How do I deal with this? I think it should be a class in school that everybody is allowed to grieve and it's a part of life, and it should be dealt with in a very healthy way. So when things happen, because they will, we're in this world, and we're going to face loss. The older you get, the more lost you feel, more your friends pass away, and different things happen. And a lot of people are just right now isolated. They're by themselves. They've lost their husband. I've been getting letters. They're widows. They've lost, and they have no fellowship, and they're very sad. And we haven't even been taught how to deal with older people, rather than just shut them up, put them away somewhere. There's so much they can teach us. We personally love older people, love hearing their stories. I wish now that I would have had more stories told me from my dad and my mom, but you can't get that back. You gotta learn to enjoy the older people around you and ask questions while you still can. Losses through death, divorce. People are losing their houses right now. Their house is foreclosed. Moving. When you move, it's a loss because all your old neighbors are gone. Now you have to, everything changes. And you grieve and you said, I should be happy right now, but why do I feel? Because you're going through a change. Change. That will never be the same way. Your neighborhood will never be the same. Things are never the same. And now it's just a matter of software being changed with your iPhone. They change. Everything's changed. It's like, I like the way it was, put it back the way it was. Yes. Why do you have to keep changing everything?
Leave it alone.
And they're not going to, but. So as you get older, you lose your hearing, your figures, your teeth. I'm talking to people that are losing their teeth. It's traumatic. People are going through losses. The trouble with trying to mourn when there's no body, if you don't go to a funeral, you're still grieving. Even though it wasn't a death, it's a relationship loss. It was a betrayal. It was something in your life that is gone. And how do I grieve that? How do I move on? How do I move forward? It's the loss of the familiar. Something's ended. It's final, and we have to make a new life without its existence. There's no closure. And now we have to make new attachments. And if you've been in a betrayal, if your husband was unfaithful, your wife was unfaithful, you have to deal with that. Plus, do I want to trust again? You have to learn to make new attachments and new friendships. And all these things are possible, but we have to learn how to do it. Now in Matthew 5, in verse 3, it said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn." You're blessed if you mourn? He said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And it goes on. This is beautiful. I'm not going to go into all of it. Just blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning is a state of grief. Losing someone we love is one of the most painful experiences we can face in life. And traumatic losses. It's hard when you lose a parent that's older, even though you know they're going to die. It's still traumatic, but when it's unexpected, it's just, wow, it's really hard to take these losses. Mourning, you grieve. And sometimes it's just mental pain. And sometimes you grieve over your own sins. Why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? That was a bad choice. If I wouldn't have made that choice, none of this would have happened. So you got to forgive yourself. You got to learn how to grieve over the things you've done, over the mistakes you've made. And we can all say we've made them, right? So we mourn over our own mistakes. In the Bible times, it was customary to mourn for a period of time, especially in the Old Testament. The mourners they wore special clothes. They put ashes on their head, they ripped their garments, and sometimes they often wept loudly. And sometimes they sat in silence. Jacob mourned 70 days. That's a long time to grieve. In Genesis 50, verse 3, Moses mourned 30 days, Deuteronomy 34, 8. Saul mourned for 7 days in 1 Samuel 31, 13. Nehemiah mourned over Jerusalem, because the whole city was destroyed and in ruins. So he grieved in Nehemiah 1:4. Now, we mourn over a lot of things, but in 1 Thessalonians, let's look there, 1 Thessalonians 4, say that five times, verse 13, we mourn and we grieve when someone dies, but it's not like the heathen. Because it's verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That doesn't mean we don't sorrow. That doesn't mean we don't have grief, but we grieve differently. Like Tim's friend, he just passed away on Sunday, and we're sad, but we know where he's going. He had Alzheimer's, and that was very sad. In a way, it's like finally he's free. But it's still sad. Because of all the memories and all the years and all the friendships all the things they did together. So it's normal to be able to weep with those that weep. And how sad that men have been taught not to cry. That, oh, you got to be tough. And as a result, we've made a lot of bully boys, bully men, because they don't know how to have compassion. They don't know how to experience that emotion, that it's okay to weep. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you if you cry. God's given you tears. That's a gift. When you cry, you can't have words. He's given you that gift of tears to be able to express that pain to him. And it's a healing. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we know they're with Jesus. So mourning is it's just a part of life. We look forward to the day when God's going to wipe away all our tears. There's not going to be any more mourning. Revelation 7:17. We have an eternal hope. Death is not the end for those that are in Christ. It's a new beginning. But it's still sad when your mom dies or your dad dies. I don't care what it is. I used to kind of say, well, they were 90 years old. What are you so sad for? My mom died in her 40s. I mean, that's a time. Then I realized, no, the attachment is, you've invested more into that relationship. The older they are, the more attached you are to them, right? So it's okay to acknowledge your grief and walk through it. Acknowledge that you're going through mental pain, suffering. I miss this person. I miss this friendship. A loss of health. A lot of people are going through that right now. They're losing their health, and we've taken it for granted. We're just healthy. They wake up and they don't feel good. They can't move the way they used to. Things are changing, and no one talks to you about getting older. Nobody talks about it. Miscarriages. People have a miscarriage. That's grief. That's a loss. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. So we grieve differently than unbelievers. But to say not to grieve, this one preacher used to say, don't cry for me when I die. Well, it's like, you know, toughen up. We're going to a better place. That's not even a good doctrine. That's not even. And another preacher that we used to listen to goes, how never to hurt again. And I just thought, that's the dumbest title I've ever heard this message. What are you, God? You're not going to ever hurt again? I mean, we grieve differently than unbelievers, but we still grieve. But we have a hope. We have a hope that we have in Christ. It helps us move forward in our grief. Now, with each loss comes denial. We protest. We don't want this to be true. And you kind of go into a state of shock, denial, shock, then anger, self-pity, grief, and fear. Denial says, I can't accept it's gone. I'm now separated from the thing you loved, or your parents, or your job, or your friend. You're never going to see him again. So we have to learn how to say goodbye. And we've never been taught really how to say goodbye. And we have funerals to say goodbye. And those are very necessary, because you can say goodbye, you can see them again maybe, and I don't like funerals, and I really don't like doing funerals because I cry the whole time. But they're very necessary and important for people to have closure. And I know more and more people are not going to funerals anymore because of everything that's went on. But you still need to grieve, let go, and say goodbye in your own way. Whatever that way is for you, allow yourself to say goodbye and to let go. We haven't been taught how to handle loss, disappointments, and failure. We've only been taught to be positive. Be positive. So you can't let people know, for even a prayer request, that people put it in such a way that it's really positive. We haven't been able to be real. Tears express feelings words can't express. So don't try to fix me. There's nothing wrong with me. It's not a sign of weakness or a lack of faith. It's a sign of great love. That something that you loved very much has ended, and it's okay to weep. Give yourself permission to let go and let that pain out and give it to God. I'm saying goodbye, and tears are helping me say goodbye. Tears are God's gift to me to express my pain and loss. In my tears, I'm letting go. Give yourself permission. Genesis 37, 35, Jacob refused to be comforted. To be comforted is a choice you have to make. Jacob, when he found, well, he thought that Joseph was killed, his favorite son, and his other sons brought him, you know, the robe and said, the wild beast has destroyed him and he's dead. He grieved and he said he refused to be comforted. He said he'd go to his grave mourning. No, they tried everything and they couldn't comfort him. He refused to be comforted. Hannah refused to be comforted. She wanted a child. You have to make a choice that you want to be comforted, because God can send people to you. But if you choose, I don't want to see anybody, I don't want, then you're going to refuse the comfort that God can bring to you through other people. So we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to stand beside us and to help us in trials, in brokenheartedness, in storms, in trials. We have that Holy Spirit, and we have to know he's here. That's his ministry, is to comfort you. So choose the comfort. Blessed are those that mourn. They shall be comforted. David the psalmist speaks of the wounds of betrayal. Psalms 41:9, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted. They think that this was Ahithophel, and Ahithophel turned on him. And then Jesus had Judas, and I think God put that in there because you'll have your Judas too. People that you trusted, right? And that's why the wound is so painful, is because the enemy knows if he can get somebody on the inside to attack you, then he can bring you down. But not if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll bounce back again, right? So he said, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Those things are all written in there. He's just being negative. Well, life is part negativity. Being positive is not even in the Bible. That word positive is not even in there. But when we're comforted, we receive strength to rise above the betrayal. We receive strength to rise above the death. And don't expect you just to bounce. I remember something happened. Somebody did some bad things, and it was like a year later, and I thought, am I ever going to get over this? And healing comes not sometimes all at once. And sometimes we just like to feel good right away. And sometimes it takes time, and you have to give yourself time to recover. Don't put yourself in this little box, I got to get over this right now. It takes time to walk through grief. And grieving, like in the Old Testament, they knew people were grieving. They had ashes on their head. They let them grieve. They let them yell. They let them scream. They let them cry in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we act like, oh, we're on top and rising. We have no problems. So we have to balance everything out. We're comforted. We receive the strength. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And we're going to pray right now and ask the Holy Spirit to help those that are hurting, those that have lost things. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. And your people are hurting everywhere. They've lost friends. They've lost parents. They've lost jobs. They've lost houses. They've lost so many. Some of them have lost common sense. They don't think anymore. They've just turned into zombies. I just pray that they would start thinking again. They would start living again. They would start having hope again. And I pray for friends, people that have lost friends. Lord, I pray for divine connections. You know how to put people together. You know what we need. There's so many people that are in isolation. They're afraid to go outside. They don't know who to trust anymore. They don't know what to believe. We just pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That you said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, Father, we pray for that. We pray for comfort for all those that are hurting, that their hearts would get healed, that they'd be able to trust again, they'd be able to love again, they'd be able to step out in faith again, they'd be able to dream again. Regardless of what we've all lost, Father, we thank you, you still are Lord. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting us, for showing us hope. For those that have lost loved ones, we thank you for the hope that we will see them again. But yet many people are hurting, and we thank you, Father, in this time of pain and grief, that you just give us your peace, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that passes pain, the peace that we all need to live in with what's going on with these crazy things that are happening in our world right now. And this is not a surprise to you. Your people have lived through much trauma, through much persecution, and you've never failed them. And Father, for those that haven't gotten the answers they want, when they want it, I pray they would not be mad at you and give up on God. They wouldn't give up on church or wherever they need to fellowship with. Just because some of these leaders have turned out to be wolves, you've always had a remnant. You've always had your people. And forgive us for looking to man instead of looking to you. So, Father, we pray in Jesus' name for comfort now for your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.